These straws and grasses come together in the river's current But when the wave starts their way and back, when the wave starts this way and back, they are separated and carried somewhere else. Similarly, the individual living entity within this material world are being carried by the waves of individual nature. Sometimes the waves bring them together and they form friendships and relate to one another on a bodily basis of family, community, or nationality. Eventually, they are thrown out of association by the waves of material nature. This process has been going on since the creation of material nature. In this regard, in the Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Miche Mayara Vishe Yacha Vishe Hacha Thabu Bhutu Vaya Jiva Krishna Dasa E Vishwasa Karle Tava Dukha Nasa. My dear living entity, you are being carried away by the waves of material nature. Sometimes you are on the surface, sometimes you leave now. In this way, the eternal life is being spoiled. If you simply catch hold of Krishna and take shelter of the Lord's feet, you will once again get free from all of the material conditions. In this verse, the word Sudhrit, well-wisher, and Tava, God, are very significant. One so-called husband, relative, son, father, or whatever, cannot actually be a well-wisher. The only actual well-wisher is Krishna himself. Krishna confirms his well-wisher in the 5th chapter of the 24th. Society, friendship, love, and well-wishing are all simply results of being packed in different bodies. One should know this well and try to get out of this voluntary engagement into which one is thrown word after word. One should take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God and Krishna and return home like the Godhead. Om Ajnana Kanyanasya Vena Nirvana Tatsuki Narendra Krishna Shri Yadavya Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Atman Jyoti Sanyu Prabhupada Prayasa Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So for our young Vaishnavas who join us, we are discussing the story of King Purandara. Actually, the previous few chapters are an allegorical narration by Narada. The king Prachina Varghese. The king Prachina Varghese, although a very nice man, nice king, he is very attached to fruitful activities. He is very attached to doing pious activities for elevation in this world. And Narada Muni has just instructed his sons, who are called the Pachetas, to perform austerities. So he comes back to their father, who is doing him some good. So the Pachetas, he gave very straightforward instructions. But to King Prachina Varghese, he cannot give instructions in such a straightforward manner, because King Prachina Varghese is very attached. So to attached people, straightforward instructions are too hurtful, painful. They cannot take it. Or the jump that they have to make from their position towards the unattached position is too big. So they need something that is more manageable. Another aspect of people who are attached is that they cannot hear good instructions. So they have to be given the instructions in a different manner so that the barriers are lowered. If someone were to tell an attached person, Prabhu, you're very attached, it immediately hinges the false ego and says, I'm not attached. So the whole message has to be said in a way that's easy for them to accept, that I might be. So sometimes we don't ask people, why are you not chanting Hare Krishna? What are the difficulties you have? So the difficulties. So we ask in Pindarikara, for persons of your age, or persons of your situation, what do you think might be some obstacle? So they can think in third person. And in third person, it's really easier to say, that might be a problem. Right. So Narada Muni is narrating a whole allegorical story, allegory, for Sri Parthivabari. So he can think about, so he is narrating this story. He says that there is a king by the name Purandara, and he has a very attractive wife, Purandini, who is basically his intelligence. So Purandara is the condition of living in, and his wife of intelligence, Purandara, is living in the body of 9 gates. That is called Panchaladesha, governed by 5 senses. And there's a whole description of what every little thing in the city of 9 gates, or the kingdom of 9 gates, signifies from a bodily conception perspective. And tells him how Purandara was very attached to his family, his wife. All he could think of was then, and didn't do anything worthwhile. At the time of his death, he could only think about his wife. And then he said in Bhagavad Gita, whatever we think of, whatever is the state of our consciousness at the time of death, that's the next stage of life we receive. So King Purandara became in his next life. He became the daughter of the king of Vrindavan. So his name is by the name. And he marries a very nice lovely husband, or she marries a nice lovely husband, King Malaya's brother. And together she was a happy life. And then they go to a forest. King Malaya performs severe austerities, she assists him. And the situation right now is that King Malaya has passed away. And she is feeling severe separation from her husband. So she's crying piteously. And suddenly a Brahmana appears on the scene. And he says to her, I am your best friend. I have been your friend. And so now he's instructing Vaidarbha on transcendental knowledge. This Brahmana is the Supasoul. Supasoul is the best friend of all living entities. Now in the previous verses, he described analytically how this body is perishable and the living entity of the soul is eternal. In last few days, he's been describing how this eternal soul gets entangled in matter. And he says it's because of devoid of knowledge and because of wrong conceptions or material conceptions. Material conceptions arise from attraction to and identification with matter. Now, for most persons or in other lines of philosophy, this is the definition of the soul, not a product of matter. Therefore, most people explain the living entity as not matter, not material, not earth, not water, not fire, air, ether, not the mind, not the intelligence, not the ego. Then who am I? You're not any of this. Who am I? You're not any of this. Who am I? Your consciousness. Who am I? You're not any of this. It's called unity nature first. So the process of elimination allows for knowing who one is not, but does not give full information of who one is. In this verse, he is giving an indication. He says, you are not the daughter of the king of the Kaurava. You are not the wife of Bhagavata. And by the way, you are also not King Purandanam in your previous life. So you have been cast in the material body. So Prabhupada is giving us that true identity of the living entity of ourselves. So first, he says in this material world, an entity comes into contact with another, their attachment increases because they have a particular type of body, and that attachment has a name. It's called the material relationship. Father or parent, child, husband, wife, wife or friends, or belonging to the same community, belonging to the same society, belonging to the same nationality, etc. And they form a bond, a relationship, from one body to another. And the two souls are really not connected. But they think they are connected because there is something common. Whether it's common with your family, country, some ideology. That's their commonality. And on the basis of that commonality, they form a relationship. Prabhupada says false bodies create various associations. False bodies, because this is not a true identity, we take on these identities. And on the basis of these identities, these relationships are not real. For example, we are practicing for the drama. And in the drama, somebody is Kamsa. Somebody is Kamsa is the mystery. Somebody is someone else. And they have a relationship. Somebody is King Surasena. Now, separately from the actual pastime of Krishna, on stage, the person is not really Kamsa. The person is not really King Surasena. But they say, they speak to each other, Father, I'm going to arrest you. And the father says, Kamsa, how can you do something like this? Don't you know I am the king? So they're speaking as if they're father and son. That's the relationship that is false. Because they're not really who they are. We in the audience look and say, I know that person. I know that person. He's just acting as Kamsa, he's just acting as Surasena. There is an identity separate from, different from, the cast of characters. Same way, or similarly, we have an identity different from the particular character we are enacting in this world. Except that the makeup is so intense that we think we are just God. And we develop all these relationships as well. However, we have a very dear friend, Lord Sri Krishna. And Prabhupada says, he is the only dear friend. The father, the mother, the husband, the wife, the well-wishers, they cannot be the real best friends. Only real best friend, I would say dear friend, is Krishna. And he comes personally and brings instructions and gives us instructions so we can realize our real identity. Anyone who supports and encourages our false identity cannot be a real friend. So I was thinking about young Vaishnavas here to narrate a couple of stories just to make this is philosophy more related. In the Ramayana, Kaikeyi is described as having a very deep affection for Lord Ramachandra. In fact, she never realized the Lord Rama is not directly her son. Her affection for Lord Rama was so intense that most people would think that Ramachandra is like a, and likewise Lord Ramachandra had so much affection for her. However, Kaikeyi had a maid servant named Mantra. Now Mantra did not think of the relationship or the extent of love in the same way, because she had a very serious material consciousness. For her, it was all about money and the security in this world. So when she came to know that King Dashrath has proclaimed Lord Ramachandra to be the next king, prince, and the coronation is going to happen very soon, everyone was happy except Mantra. Because Mantra was thinking, well, if Lord Ramachandra becomes the king, then King Dashrath's favorite will be Mother Kausalya. All the favors will be shown upon Kausalya, then Kaikeyi will be ignored. And if Kaikeyi will be ignored, then I will be ignored. Because how will I get all these favors, the jewels and the money that Kaikeyi may have to bestow upon? So she went to Kaikeyi and said to her, Kaikeyi, you're such a foolish woman. You're rejoicing. You're rejoicing upon your own imminent death. Kaikeyi said, what do you want? My son Lord Rama is going to be the king. There cannot be anything happier than this. He said, you don't realize. You don't realize what Dashrath has done to you in the name of love. He's actually stabbed you in the back. He has made his favorite queen's son Ram the king. And although he tells you that you are his favorite queen, look, he has not made your son. So initially, Kaikeyi said, don't talk nonsense, get out of here. But Mantra kept insisting, no, her son, your son. Her son, your son. And Kaikeyi came under that influence. He said, yeah, Bharata is my son. Rama is Kausalya's son. And suddenly, she was absorbed in this bodily identification. And interestingly, all the problems in Ramayana begin from here. The moment Kaikeyi was absorbed in a bodily conception, this is my son, that is her son, all the material affections, the attachments suddenly took on a big life of their own. And a happy spiritual family split up. So when there was bodily conception that then entered into a spiritual family, that's the beginning of all the disturbances. And it requires only one mantra to bring about all of this disturbance. And identification with that kind of attributes. And even though Bharata explained to Kaikeyi, this is not the case. This is Rama. I want to dedicate my life to Ramachandra's service. I don't want to be the king. No, you have to be the king. And before Bharata came, Kaikeyi asked for two boons from King Dashrath. For your Ramachandra should go to the forest for 14 years, and my son Bharata should be pronounced king. So here, Prabhupada is describing that false bodies create all these identification of family, society, community, etc. These are not actual relationships. So the Bhagavatam describes, Yasyam Buddhi Punapetri Dhanu. स्वधी कलत्रा विशुद्धौ नमीक्षति इत्येतत् मुक्ति सजने नष्टं भवति जनेषु अभिज्ञेषु स एव लोकः. The person is considered to be as dull-headed as a cow or an ass. And he thinks of his body, this bag of three elements, as himself. Or he thinks of the extensions of his body, kalantara, adishu. Kalantara means wife. Adishu means those who come from the wife, children, the family members, etc. As all of them, they're all mine. Or those who go to holy places just to take a bath and don't hear from Abhigyeshu, the real persons of knowledge. It is considered dull habit to just go to a holy place, take a dip in the river and come back. So we say, no more than that. So Prabhupada gives a transcendental vision on what are material relationships. He says, as a river is flowing, by the current of the river, the straws and little blades of grass are pulled into the river. And because of the waves, some of these straws and grasses come together for a few moments there. And then by the waves, the straws separate. Life in this material world is like that. The three modes of nature carry us from one situation to another situation, from one life to another life. And in that movement, two living entities come together and they form a relationship. And by the same modes of nature, the two persons are separated. When one has this vision as realization, then the separation is not lamentable. If one does not have this vision, then one very quickly forms these artificial bonds of relationships. And these bonds will be broken. It's not a choice. It's by design these bonds will be broken. Everyone who's alive today may not be. One may not be, will not be in the future. It's just a matter of time and when. Each person will pass from this body to another body. So the interesting part of Krishna consciousness, you know, the Mayavada side is easier, as one says. Just break away from all of this and say, okay, this is false. However, the process of Krishna consciousness is positive relationships with Krishna in the center. So yes, you know, we are all like straws and twigs that come together for some moments, years, and however many moments and years, and then we separate. But the bond is with Krishna, or with Krishna in the center. That is the one that we have to develop. And that is not easy. Because we generally get caught in the material perceptions, or we get caught in the negative material perceptions. But to cultivate positive spiritual conceptions is the process of Krishna consciousness. And it takes cultivation. It takes enthusiasm, it takes patience. It takes the whole process of Vaisarana not being. Develop in a regulated manner a positive relationship with Krishna and Krishna's demands. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us a reminder. This is Niche Mayara Vashe. Mayara Vashe is under the influence of or within the trap or being trapped by Maya. Yacha Bheshe, you have got a new dress. And because of this new dress, this is actually an illusion. And this, within this illusion, negative energy, sometimes gives you something that's very happy, and then immediately dumps you into the water. And you're struggling for air, and suddenly she gives you some relief. It's called waterboarding. This kind of interrogation technique. And people don't reveal the secrets. And apparently there is an interrogating technique called waterboarding. In a very simplistic manner, it's to dump someone's head in the water till the very moment that they're about to die, then bring them out. So they can have a gasp of breath, and immediately dump them back into the water. So it's so difficult that they feel that they lose their life, that they have to reveal the secret. Yeah, this is what. So Maya is like that, except that she doesn't know any secret for us. It's just that her services done with the US and the US. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is giving us a way out because our real identity is as Jeev Krishna. So, this is a positive identity. Without this, people struggle. I'm not this body. What am I to do? Do I just stop living? What activity should I perform? Or do I just make my mind blank? My whole meditation is to make my mind blank. And they struggle and struggle and practice for years and years and years trying to make their mind blank. What do you get out of it? Because living energy is vibrant, is active. So he says, Jeev Krishna Das, A Vishwaskarma, the Al Pulkhana. Once you have this very clear, your servants of Krishna, then Arubhukhana, there is no other reason to this. There is no limit to such a place. Because Krishna is our true vibration. Suratam Sarvabhutanam. So, any comments, questions? Actually, I thought about it in a couple of this.
It's very subtle. So if it's clear that I'm a servant of Krishna, the material perceptions act, I end up kind of just service to the sensitive mind and intelligence. And that's an obviously a gender spiritual relationship. So it seems like we have a challenge here, because even after marrying a servant, because the nature of material perception is so subtle that we end up acting as material entities in the name of cultivating relationships. But how do we actually develop a real perception of service, action of service? Is that we need to see that material perception?
So here, Prabhupada, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears and gives instructions in the form of Arjuna, Gita, and Vedic scriptures. The Supreme Lord gives these instructions because of the eternal friend of the living entities. These instructions are important because by then the living entity can obtain liberation from the energy. So the given conceptions are subtle. Krishna's instructions are subtle. So when one lives one's life, or even attempts to, practices to live one's life by Krishna's instructions, then these subtler or powerful instructions can root out conceptions. Now the rooting out of conceptions is not something that we do once a week or once a year or once in a while. Oh, I'm a servant of Krishna. we practice, or the way Prabhupada has designed our lifestyle, is that it should help us remember this powerful subtle instruction of your service of Krishna in every aspect of our activities. Generally, the material conceptions still remain because mostly practicing devotees engage in what's called mechanical devotional service. Means it's on the external bodily level. Oh, I have to move these chairs from this side of the room to that side of the room, or I have to something, manage this, take care of that, eat here, do this. It's all done without proper understanding of why and how to do it. We get caught in just mechanical execution. So what happens is, we call it service, because that's the term you learned. We call it service, but the service attitude may be missing or may not be strong enough. So the conception itself has not been rooted up. So instead of a full bhakti experience, we get a sukhati experience. So we collect a lot of bhakti sukhati credits. I wonder why it's not making such a big difference. Because internally, it's the conception that I'm serving Krishna. We're not being active. It has to be in the active consciousness, in the soul consciousness, Prabhupada says, the Krishna consciousness. So he writes in his book, when one perfects in Krishna consciousness, in perfect Krishna consciousness, then. So that's the practice. And it's not something that someone else can tell us, someone can remind us. This is, can you do this service for Krishna, please? Then we are reminded. But ultimately it's up to us whether we do it for Krishna or we don't do it. When the Radha Damodar Vilas, I believe Vishnu Maharaj was very much practice. He had the service. He had the service of waking up all the brahmacharis. So instead of waking them up saying, Prabhu, the alarm is going off. He's been waking them up to be, Hari Om Prabhu, let's all rise and shine, Krishna Prabhupada. So then, as they were waking up, the first thing they would hear is, let's all do this for Krishna. And the Buddha is worried that when they wake up, when they wake up like that, it was very clear what the rest of the day meant for them. Let's rise and shine, Krishna Prabhupada. So the instructions are stronger, subtler. They have a potency. That's why Krishna gives instructions. The Guru, the Vaishnava, Shastra, the instructions are more powerful than the material conception. It's a matter of what are we holding on to. So if you hold on, then the instructions won't touch. Like Duryodhana. Duryodhana was given so many instructions, powerful instructions. By Bhishma, by Lord Krishna, by Vidura. They didn't touch his heart at all. Because he was holding on to his material conceptions.
Amongst ourselves and editing and itself. for whatever reason, that's not as prominent, I feel like, as just the construction of something spiritual platform. So is it because it's not as easily acceptable by us? It's not, we can't apply it as easily, it's not as powerful for us to be able to step into that culture? Or may I first kind of provide the questions and ask them?
I'm not sure if it's difficult, maybe, but the bigger issue is forgetfulness. And that we are habituated to, we are conditioned to a particular style of, or a particular way, and we have it. So even if the instructions are there and we have heard them, what is the thing? Very important. Therefore, our whole program is daily the same thing and repeated multiple times. Because by repetition, forgetfulness is released. So there is a quality to the repetition, not just quantity of repetition, but there is a quality to that repetition. So that it will awaken our remembrance. Shravana Kirtana leads to smarana. But Shravana and Kirtanam were not in quantity. Just quantity may be helpful, but not helpful enough. Just quality, of course. So quantity and quality work together. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the example of parrot. We can teach a parrot to repeat. And it will in quantity repeat. Like Krishna. But the moment it's faced, you know, by a cat or a bear, it may be a clock. So it won't repeat. Because there's no quality in the repetition.
So since the government body is material, one is that the definition is the way it is. Whereas Vedic culture is, you have these things, so point them in an ascending direction, like utilize them for the practice. So our culture, for instance, like in one's Vaishnavas or something, we offer obeisances to each other, specifically like the temple practice. We see each other in the morning, or we have some quasi familial feelings. Towards each other. And this, you know, seems like a material thing, because it adjusts to material conception. So, if we're to really apply that to culture, it seems like we have to have those things, but at the same time, that's frightening to some of us. It's like, okay, that's a material conception. We're talking about cause, that's just part of this something. It has to be, you have to have some part of it, otherwise it's not there, whatever practice you
know. The heart is also guided by proper knowledge. Because with the heart, we can have false relationships. Because it's no proper conception. So having affection for each other as a devotee is nice. When there is proper knowledge, this is Krishna's part of us. I'm serving this, I'm not serving this. Then yes. Otherwise, it's just change of dress for the same thing. Like carrying material conceptions and performing devotional services is no different than. So there we wear different clothes, here we wear different clothes. There we have different activities, we do different activities, but still the consciousness is really not that true. Always change the dress and language. Then it is still the realm of matter. So every morning, the Lord's bowl or whatever, we recite first before we begin worship. Nahum Gaurami, Allah, Brahmana, Mandaravati, Allah King, Allah Vaishya, Nahum Sudha. and the servant of the servant, so that the making of the place. Then we are serving Krishna to proper identity. And we get the full benefit of that service.
Although so much that's coming out is.
Because forgetfulness, we recite the verse, and perhaps the very next moment we get to it. Our condition is such that our forgetfulness is all pervasive. Living space and life. So we keep trying. Thank you very much.